Hello and welcome to the Dog Trainer Unleashed with Emma Bartel. Today we are going to be talking about taking your dog to the vet. We are joined by veterinary assistant Vicky Malone. Hi, Vicky.
Hi, Emma.
How are you doing today?
I'm not too bad. I'm very nervous about being on your podcast.
You should be. With this being our first episode, we have lots of listeners. So, Vicky, thank you again for joining us. So working in a veterinary office, that must be fun sometimes, eh?
Yeah, it is sometimes. It can get really stressful and chaotic as well. But then every now and then somebody brings in a litter of puppies, which is great.
So aside from the cute litter of puppies, what are some of your biggest pet peeves of clients?
You know, it's funny. Like, I don't understand what is so scary about the scale. And so before I worked at the vet and I used to bring my dogs in, they would always say, oh, what great dogs. I just love them. And I just assumed that they said that to everybody. But now I get it, because when I took my dogs in, they'd go and they'd sit on the scale and then they'd wait and then take their weights and then they'd get off the scale and there was no drama. They were totally calm. And apparently that's not the norm. So dogs not knowing how to get on the scale is a big thing. And then, but also like the way sometimes the owners will try to like drag them onto the scale is really a big no-no. You know, we've got treats up there for a reason. Let's use them.
Definitely not helpful when they try to manhandle them, hey?
No, makes it that much worse for next time.
For sure. So you must see dogs that come in with undesirable behaviors.
Yeah, for sure. All the time. We have a lot of muzzles there for a reason. And I actually got bit a couple weeks ago from a little Chihuahua who was okay the first time I examined him. But then I came back in to do something with the vet there. And I guess by then he'd had enough. And so I confidently went to pick him up thinking that it would be fine. And yeah, it wasn't.
So what do you find the owner's attitudes towards their dog's behaviors are?
Well, it varies, but a lot of times it's, you know, they side with their animal. And it's funny because the dogs and cats even, they really know how to manipulate their owners. So you can tell right away, usually, how it's going to go. And there are some times where we'll have to find like creative and polite ways to politely ask the owners to wait outside. And then we often find a big difference when the owners are not present. It's a lot easier to handle the dog because the dog will know that if it's, you know, say it's getting its temperature taken, well, we do that rectally, so they tend not to like it. And if the owner's there, the dog's like, oh, I know I can manipulate my owner into not making me have to do this. And so they'll act up and they'll wiggle around and the owner will let them get away with it. So we then got to bring in, either take the dog away to the treatment area and have another technician help to hold them, or bring the other technician in and, you know, maybe try to politely ask the owner to wait up front. It's a really fine line to do there because you want to make sure that you don't offend them, but you also want to make sure you get the job done.
Right. Yeah, that must be very frustrating. Do you find that owners, like, it's more common that they'll side with their dog than feel embarrassed about their dog's behavior?
Yeah, it is probably more common. We do certainly get the other side as well. I don't know if it's so much embarrassment. We do have owners, too, that are definitely afraid of their own dogs. Like, those Chihuahuas owners were like that. And but we have owners, too, that will, like, get really mad at their dog. And that's frustrating too, because often that's really the wrong way to deal with it.
Right. Okay. So in these instances, when you have some very manipulative little Chihuahuas, do you recommend training or classes to your clients?
Yeah, absolutely. We do. Cause it definitely makes our job a whole lot easier if the dog is trained and, like, especially being socialized and practicing calmness. You know, and if they've had some sort of activity that gets their energy out so that they're not bouncing off the walls when they come in, it definitely makes our job a lot easier.
So when it comes to making your job easier, are there any like behaviors or cues that really help your job in that way?
Well, sit stay is always nice. But if the dog, like, unless they're really, really super well educated, there's a lot of distractions for them at the vet. So they're often kind of too distracted to really be listening as well as they normally would at home, which actually that's what I find is tends to be most embarrassing for the owners, is when they know that their dog is well trained and then they don't perform those abilities at the vet. But we don't expect them to really. What I think helps us more is, like I said before, socialization and just getting them used to handling different parts of their bodies. Like, it amazes me how many dogs will be really nervous about me just touching their side with the stethoscope. So, you know, handling their mouth, handling their ears, their paws, even their tail and their rear end, because we got to go in there to take temperatures or sometimes do anal glands.
Right.
So, yeah.
I totally agree with you about the behaviors at home. That's actually one of my pet peeves, is when someone hears I'm a dog trainer and they have their dog with them and they're like, oh, look, my dog can sit and stay, but their dog won't do it because they've never practiced anywhere but their house.
Right. Yeah, it's different.
Yes, it is different. Dogs don't generalize in that way. You have to teach it in every new location. Eventually, they will generalize it, but you have to practice everywhere. So that is one of my big things when people are like, oh, yeah, my dog can do that, but they've never practiced anywhere else. So it doesn't translate well.
Yeah, good training tip.
So have you seen any correlation with a well-trained dog and their long-term health?
It's more so a well-trained owner. Unfortunately, I have had to be involved in, you know, euthanizing a lot of sick, older dogs that are just awesome and well-trained. And there's something about that that just always makes it extra hard, because we like those patients, obviously. But a well-trained owner, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand. Like, if they care about their pet's training and behavior, they will probably care about their health too. And so those owners that are bringing their dogs in for their annual exams and willing to do things like wellness blood panels or just wellness urine checks just to screen for early disease detection, those are more likely to be living longer and happier and healthier. And also owners who actually listen to the things that we tell them and are educated. Like, we had a dog that had gotten into some baking that had xylitol in it, which is extremely toxic, that fake sugar stuff. But because she was well educated, she called us immediately, was able to get the dog in, and we were able to save it. So that is a really good situation and could have been much worse had the owner not been so educated.
Absolutely. Thank you for tuning in to the Dog Trainer Unleashed. If you like this video and want to hear another one, leave me a comment. Let me know what you want to hear about next. Don't forget to like and subscribe. See y'all next week.